Chapter 5. Your rails have always outrun mine. The last person Ilya expects to see along a parade route is Hollander. Ilya almost passes by without seeing him, except that Hollander stands out from the crowd, except that Ilya looks for him everywhere without meaning to, so at first he thinks it's his mind playing tricks. Ilya breaks away from the locals he's fallen in with and weaves his way to Hollander's side. He catches the sleeve of Hollander's coat and steers him off the main road.
Hollander, why are you here?
Hollander pulls his sleeve out of Ilya's grasp and tucks his coat down. Same as you, probably. Ilya highly doubts that. His visit here isn't exactly officially sanctioned. The last time he saw Hollander, he was snuck in the bosom of one of his fellow voyageurs, leading an entire strike team to counter the raiders' advance.
This is Tren 1217. No one comes here. It's too...
Ilya can't think of the word in English. He makes a hand gesture instead, indicating the timeline diverting dramatically off course.
You're here?
There's the slightest hint of a pout around Hollander's mouth. That expression shouldn't be allowed on his face. His lower lip doesn't need any more emphasis. It makes it hard for Ilya not to think about kissing him.
So what? The Voyageur sent you to stop me from carrying out this very important mission?
Ilya raises his eyebrows. Hollander's sulky mouth pinches into a scowl. Now that Ilya's made the mistake of looking at him, he can't look anywhere else. He's going to miss the whole fucking parade because of Hollander's lips.
I'm here for the invasion, Hollander says.
His cheeks are pink, freckles darkening with his flushed skin. Ilya's situation is becoming more perilous by the moment. He can't blame everything on his distraction and the number of drinks he's had already. He's fairly certain Hollander isn't making any sense.
Your side is attacking. Here.
He points down at the street beneath them, littered with strings of plastic beads and crumpled napkins. It's hardly a high-profile target. Hollander is definitely blushing now. It hasn't lessened the impact of his adorable scowl.
The pirate invasion, asshole.
Ilya stares at him, really seeing Hollander for the first time. He's wearing a woolen fear-not coat and wide cropped trousers, all in drab shades of blue-gray. There's a long knife and a leather scabbard tucked into his belt that will get him arrested if anyone realizes it's not a fake.
Hollander.
Ilya gestures around them at the costumes in the crowd. It's all feathered hats and overflowing corsets, long scarlet coats with shiny gold buttons.
It's not a real invasion. This is a party. They sail one ship into the harbor, set off fake cannons. Boom.
Hollander's gaze skitters down the parade route and back to him. Ilya tries not to notice that it lingers on the open front of Ilya's poet shirt, on the strip of bare chest framed by white lace ruffles.
So why are you here?
Ilya throws his hands up.
To get drunk. To get laid. To wear stupid clothes and have people throw beads because I'm hot. This trend doesn't matter. You really came here to foil this terrible enemy plot.
Hollander looks away, avoiding Ilya's face, before he seems to force himself to make eye contact.
No. I want to talk.
This, Ilya thinks, is far worse than the Voyageurs staging an invasion. The potential devastation is too high to calculate.
There's nothing to talk about.
It's not even a good deflection, just a reflexive attempt to stop whatever might come out of Hollander's mouth. He should have remembered how single-minded Hollander can be when he wants something.
You said you're not on a mission, right? So there's probably no one watching. We can talk here. About us.
And then what? It's the future Ilya hasn't let himself think about. The one in which his life is more than an endless string of military actions and stolen moments with Hollander for a quick fuck.
We meet up another time, and again after that. Until someone catches us, and we get killed by our own sides. What? No.
Hollander looks horrified.
That's not... They'd really kill you?
He's so naive. Ilya feels disgusted with himself for wanting to preserve that innocence, when he knows the rest of the universe will only take advantage of it.
You think they wouldn't kill you? Why? Because you're their prize vanguard?
No, they'd erase you. There's new tension in Hollander's voice, and the way he's holding himself. My memories are saved to a synaptic storage drive. If they found out about us, they wouldn't risk it getting out. They'd wipe my memory as far back as our first meeting. It would be like it never happened. Ilya stares at him. He should sit down before his unsteady legs betray him. He thinks he might be sick. At least he wouldn't be the first person vomiting into the gutter today. Hollander starts fidgeting when he doesn't respond.
You just said the raiders would kill you. It's not worse than that.
It is. It's so much worse, for reasons Ilya can't even put into words. They've been in each other's lives for years, braiding and untangling each other's threads. There's no way to erase Ilya without taking a decade of Hollander's life along with him. Who Hollander is now, as a person, has been shaped in part by his time with Ilya. Pieces of him would be lost that couldn't be rebuilt.
I guess I should have told you before this.
Hollander keeps talking like this is a practical matter.
If we ever meet somewhere and I don't seem to know you, it might be that we are at a new intersection of the timeline and I haven't really met you yet, but it could also be that.
Ilya sits down abruptly on the curb. Hollander hovers for a few seconds, staring at the filthy sidewalk, before he sits beside Ilya. Ilya keenly feels the chasm between them, this lack of shared understanding that rears its head at the strangest times. It seems impossible to reach past it, like they're groping for each other in the dark, from opposite sides of an ocean. Hollander is trying to build a bridge.
The colonel who gives me orders,
Ilya says eventually. He looks at his knees, because it isn't safe to say this aloud, but it especially isn't safe to say it while looking at Hollander.
He doesn't always remember when he is, or what's happened. He forgets things. He's losing time. I can't trust the missions anymore. He might not remember sending me. I might not come back.
Hollander draws in a breath. Ilya rubs his earlobe between his fingers and waits for him to say what they're both thinking. Continuity lapse. A weakness that could turn the tide of the war. Or a vulnerability that might extend to both sides, if Hollander's people are erasing their own memories to control what everyone thinks. Instead, Hollander says,
I would remember. I'd find you.
Ilya thinks, if they take me away from you, there will be no one left to mourn me. Hollander reaches out to put a hand on his knee. Ilya threads their fingers together and holds on.
Lily, I never told you why I started sending you my memories. You can probably guess now. If anything happens to me, I'd like to think there's some part of me out there that will survive if my other memories are erased. I want that part to stay with the person who knows me best. I trust you. More than I should, probably, but you've never let me down. I know that my memories, every emotion I experience in those moments, my private thoughts, they're all safe with you. I save all of your messages, not just the words themselves, but the memory of reading them, the way I feel when I find each one, the things I think about you. They can't erase us completely. Not anymore. Jane.
Rozanov looks a stripe up Jane's neck, bites at his earlobe, and murmurs,
I think I will make you scream for me.
Oh, fuck you,
Shane hisses through his teeth. It's not his best comeback, but Rozanov has fucked most of the coherence out of him.
Other way around, I think.
Rozanov grinds in slow and deep, and Shane bites his tongue to stop himself from whimpering. Rozanov put him on his back, so there's nothing to muffle the noises he's making. Rozanov pulls back and snaps his hips forward without warning, and Shane's hand flies up to grip the pillow. His jaw clenches so hard it aches,
should have put you on top and made you ride me.
Rozanov somehow manages conversational shit talk even while he's out of breath from how hard he's fucking Shane into the mattress.
I like these too, though, when I make you lie there and take it.
Stop talking, Shane whispers furiously, which is a mistake. It means his mouth is already open and his lungs are pushing out air when Rozanov hits him just the right way. He moans, too loud, and the vibrating ring around his dick buzzes and tightens enough to make him gasp.
Do you want to play a game? Rozanov asked once they'd been naked in bed together.
Shane heard the other question. Will you trust me? As clearly as if Rozanov said it aloud. He thought Rozanov wanted to try something a little different, like a 69, or to fuck in some new position. Instead, he got a vibrating cock ring. There's a sensor stuck to the hollow of Shane's throat, programmed to a specific number of decibels. Shane can whisper, he can moan if it's breathy enough, but anything more than that sets it off. It gets more intense the louder he is. Rozanov's voice doesn't set it off, which is good, because he won't shut the fuck up.
I thought you were going to be quiet, Rozanov jokes.
He leans down to graze his teeth beside Shane's armpit, pushing Shane's knees back towards his shoulders until his thighs ache from the stretch. They started this with Shane's legs around Rozanov's waist, but after Shane set the fucking ring off and kicked Rozanov for the third time, Rozanov decided instead to pin him down and fold him in half.
Shut up, Shane whispers, and pretends he isn't begging.
Rozanov's teeth find his nipple, and Shane breaks again, his voice rising in a series of punched-out groans that only get louder as the vibrations crank up in response. He wants to come, and the only way to do that is to stay quiet. He bites the inside of his cheek and stifles the whimpers rising in his throat, squeezing his eyes shut so he doesn't have to see Rozanov, sweaty and red-faced and glorious above him, watching his own dick move in and out of Shane's ass. Shane could also tap out. Rozanov had been very clear about that, about stopping this at any time. They might have both underestimated how competitive Shane could get in bed. Shane is close. He's so fucking close. Rozanov adjusts his grip on Shane's leg so he can crush Shane against the mattress and suck a bruise onto Shane's throat. His mouth closes over the sensor when he hums, loud and deliberate, and the ring tightens around Shane's dick fast enough to stop his orgasm right as he's teetering on the edge.
You fucking bastard! Fuck you! Fuck!
Shane gasps, lightheaded. His dick hasn't figured out yet that it can't get off, his hips jerking up desperately in search of stimulation.
Sorry, did you want to come?
Rozanov asks, and Shane is gratified to at least hear some strain in his voice now. Both of them are getting increasingly desperate, but still unwilling to give in first. Rozanov kisses his neck and presses forward into another slow, filthy grind. Shane's eyes flutter shut, and his nails dig into Rozanov's back, holding him close.
Ilya!
He breathes, too loud, his voice breaking on the word. It takes a few seconds for him to realize he hasn't set off the sensor.
Programmable,
Ilya had explained when he'd squeezed Shane's cock in his hand and slipped the ring over his balls. Shane had thought he'd met the decibel level, not...
Ilya,
he says again, testing. He feels Rozanov tense, thrusting forward hard enough to punch Shane's breath out of him. He wonders if Rozanov knew he'd be this affected, or if they've both been taken by surprise. Rozanov braces himself in Shane's legs and starts fucking him again, faster, the build-up to the finish. Their gazes lock, neither of them flinching. Shane has a cheat code now, and he's going to use it. He loves to win. He pulls Rozanov down into a messy, wet kiss, mostly teeth and tongue, and drags in a deep breath.
Ilya! Ilya! Ilya!
He chants, and rides the blissful wave into orgasm. They kiss for a long time afterward, lingering more than they should, reluctant to shed the softer skins they wear for each other and don their armor again. Rozanov brushes his knuckles over Shane's cheek, and the chromatophores under Shane's skin rearrange themselves, responding to his touch. We'll see each other soon. Shane says it almost as a reassurance for himself. Strand 1919, right?
Yes,
Rosanoff agrees. He holds Shane's jaw in his hand and tilts Shane's chin up to kiss the corner of his mouth.
I will see you there.
And we'll write, Shane says. Will you let me know if... I don't want you to tell me any military secrets, but when you report in, if your orders... if anything... He trails off, aware that he's asking for the impossible. Aware, too, that the man in his arms will try to give it to him, if Shane asks. He finishes softly, I just want to know that you're okay.
I know.
Rosanoff kisses him again, brief and disarmingly tender.
You worry too much.
Shane rests his hand over Rosanoff's heart. He leaves another shard of memory like a splinter under Rosanoff's skin before he goes. Another piece of himself broken off and given away. He might leave his heart behind with it.
My Jane, I don't know what to tell you about my missions. I don't want you to worry. The truth is, I don't know what to say about the war at all. I have new assignments that might as well be the same ones I've carried out already, time and time again, in strand after strand. It's always felt pointless, undoing your work just so you could undo mine. It's been even worse lately. I don't know why I'm doing any of it. I don't want to be working against you. The only thing I want is to be with you. The only thing that feels real in all of this is hearing your voice, seeing your face. Nothing else matters. Especially not a war that started before you and I were born, and will carry on after we're gone. The only battles I want to fight are by your side. I am yours first, and everyone else's after. Your Lily.